down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now it's time for this.
News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Evershed Sutherland, Ireland's largest and most established global law firm, with full service teams for your legal and tax solutions.
I'm delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair this week, Padraig O'Kane. He's the CEO of Corporate.ie, and he's very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Bobby. Glad to be here.
Now, we'll just, for clarity, I suppose we'll explain Corporate.ie, Padraig. It's an interesting business. It's a combination of a number of events and hospitality businesses.
Yeah, I guess it's a brand that delivers customer experiences, whether within the restaurant sector, the likes of Firesteak and House and Bar on Dawson Street, or Soul Seafood and Grill over on South William Street, the Round Room at the Mansion House, and we do a lot of venting, our principal event being the Aer Lingus College Football Classic Series.
How did you find your way into hospitality, firstly, and how did you end up going to Northern Ireland for your training?
So, it's in the genes. So, Dad is a farmer and Mum ran a really successful B&B in Longford, so a former hotelier herself. So, between my love for food and particularly beef and my love for hospitality, there's no question where it came from. It doesn't fall far from the tree. So,
yeah.
All it's a love for people and doing things, etc. And for college, I had an opportunity to go to Northern Ireland Hotel and Catering College up in Portrush, and took that. I probably spent more time working in the local bars and nightclubs, learning more from people there than I did in college. But we ticked the box, and from there we went over and worked for 40 hotels in the UK for a number of years.
Yeah, and were you on a sort of a graduate programme with them? Was that how it started?
Yeah,
and
then, no,
did you maybe climb the ladder with Forte?
Yeah, an amazing opportunity. If I had set her home, I wouldn't have got it, because quite simply I'd done 3 hotels with them over there before coming home in 97, and when you're ready to be promoted, you get promoted and moved. You've very little say in it. I had 3 stints, started off in Buxton, went to Stroud with their Heritage Group, and then ended up in Nottingham in what was a 40 Crest, then moved on to be a 40 Post House while I was there, and God knows what it is today.
Yeah.
Mostly in the food and beverage and in the banqueting side of it would have been my success story. I've been one of their youngest food and beverage managers outside of London at the time.
You came back to Ireland then, Padraig. You were involved in Master Chefs. That was a business that was, I suppose, one of the larger premium catering brands at the time. It had good times, it had bad times. It had challenging times. How did you get involved there?
Yeah, for sure. I came back met the lads who were building an amazing brand. At the time, I started as their operations manager, and I ended up being their commercial director by the time I left. When I moved on, they just about had everything, both stadiums, the Aviva, Croke Park, every race course in the country, including some that I was quick to help them get rid of. I won't mention them, but you know, some amazing times. The Murphy's Irish Open being my most memorable. I was catering director in that down in Ballybunion, and over in Photo, and previous to that down Wicklow and Druids Glen. So I have some amazing memories from my time during that time.
It's hard work. It's events, big events like that, and you're dealing with lots of places that maybe, you know, because they're events driven, they might be idle for 11 months of the year, and then you've got to get, you know, deal with thousands and thousands of people. Well, give us a little bit of your thoughts around those kind of experiences.
It's an amazing industry. It's a difficult, difficult industry. I think people underestimate how a pint or a burger or a gourmet meal happens on the side of a field, etc. Hence, I didn't go into it directly. I came into more the event side of it and into permanent buildings when I went out on my own. We've been through the what goes on behind the scenes. The respect I have for people who do outdoor catering and outdoor events is just humongous, and they don't get the credit that they deserve.
Well, I did the Pope's visit in Canada in 1984, and I can tell you, I will talk about that off air, but
I've one or two of those too.
So what, you went out on your own in 2002 at the age of 29. That was you said you wanted to be self-employed by the time you were 30. So what entity was that, and how did all that come about?
So, you know, it was a decision. I set that goal for myself. I think the entrepreneurial was always in me, and I set that goal. I had to go, and sure and behold, March of 2002, I, or February 2002, I talked to the guys and looked at the journey where I was going within MasterChef and made a decision to leave work notice, do everything else, and we left very amicably with the guys. And I just knew I wanted to go out there and row my own boat. And I was very fortunate that Henry Montcharles down Slane gave me my first big break. And as he was just refurbishing the castle, I was his first management contract to go in and operate the place.
Were you okay?
We had the VIP contract. We were there for 7 or 8 years working with Henry and the family. And it was amazing, up and going. And we got our events business working out of that. In 2004, we'd played a huge part in running the EU presidency, the catering side of it for the government, with 350 events around the country, which was, you know, the start of it was getting into really big logistics and scale from there. So that really put the name on the map. And then in 2005, the end of 2004, I was fortunate with my now long-term business partner, Larry Mearn, to have a crack at the short-term lease at the Mansion House, which is the public rooms at the Mansion House. And Larry and I took the risk of doing a 4-year, 9-month lease, and thankfully we've developed that into a long-term lease with the City Council, and next year we celebrate 20 years.
That business as well, you had to invest in that. You had a short tenure, so, you know, if you weren't renewed, it was a high-risk investment.
All the work we would have done would have went out the window. So when you take a 4-year, 9-month lease, and I get it when I look back then now, because it's the residents beside the office of the Lord Mayor, they're very protective of who goes in there, who operates them rooms, etc. So we had to put serious capital, both financial capital and personal capital into it in relation to time and developing the business, bringing it on, developing fire to where it was, on the risk we may not renew. Thankfully, we had the confidence in ourselves to know we would do a good job. It was a fantastic location in Dublin. We believed in our products, and the story's good, thankfully.
And if we talk about your restaurants, they're not small. They're Fire. How many seats does Fire have?
Fire's a 280-seater.
Yeah. So these what about Soul?
Soul is 110, to be expanded to 200 at the end of the year.
So these are big restaurants. Yeah. These are big machines. They need a lot of customers and a lot of staff. Talk us a little bit about the challenges around running those big machines.
Yeah, I guess in restaurants, big machines are an advantage and disadvantage. The principal advantage, you can put in proper structures. You're operating on 7 nights of the week business. Dublin is strong on a Monday and Tuesday at the best of time, etc. So that is a huge advantage, that you are working with. We're between the canals. We're a cosmopolitan European capital city. So that's fortunate. I can build structures.
You've also got the capacity for numbers.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're doing them on a Monday, Tuesday night, not only on a Saturday night.
And who are the customers on Monday, Tuesday night? Is there a lot of people visiting town?
It varies. The vast majority of the year is corporates and meetings, which is the probably area that risk most since COVID, that we're not seeing enough international conferences and meetings take place. There's a number of reasons around that. Meetings, they're not just since COVID. People have discovered what Zoom and Teams, etc. is. So if they met 8 times a year in person, they're now meeting 4. However, conferences early week, there's no doubt about it, they're not coming to Dublin. They're going to Lisbon, Italy, etc. And that's due to we've outpriced ourselves in the city, etc. So that's the one area in Dublin city at the moment that sales have reduced within that business corporate. But in the main, you know, there's not a Monday night in Fire that wouldn't say 180, 200 covers, etc. And similar over.
Right,
so the business is there. It's a matter of working and bringing it forward. But the challenges around that of doing it at the moment around cost and labour has never been as difficult in all my years been associated with hospitality, and all the challenges we've come through with the recessionary times and COVID times, etc. This probably, and I heard Pat McDonough on with you a number of weeks ago, he had the same view in my time. It's a tsunami of almost a perfect storm of costs. It's just not one thing, it's everything, and that's difficult at the moment.
And is there a point that, you know, and you hear people talk about, I've said this before, you know, paying the living wage and all that, but, you know, that also means that you might be paying €60 for a steak. Like, how far can that be pushed?
I think it's very much there in relation to, like, I mean, we've looked at it over the last couple of years. We've handed on as much as we can. We can't hand everything on to the customer. We have to be respectful of what's going to be paid and what a customer can. But it's, as you rightly said, we're in the big restaurant. We're watching our figures very detailed. We're looking at every cost base and so on and so forth. And Pat's probably doing similar to what he's doing. My huge concern for hospitality is that the family business, the smaller business, the outside of Dublin business, that might be operating on 3-4 nights a week. if the minimum wage goes again, like, I mean, that to us, it was a 10% increase in wage last year alone, never mind from the start of this year because of the knock-on effect to it. We can't sustain that every year, and the talk has been back in the budget again. So this is where, and if you're a family business down the country, you know, how do you sustain that? How do you take that in? And if we don't have a hospitality and a tourism down the Wild Atlantic Way, if it's 100 miles you have to go to get to the next cafe and stuff like that, we don't have a hospitality product. So we collectively as an industry and as a government and as a community have to look at them businesses and protect them.
Let's talk about the American college football. That's been another, I suppose, strand to your business. 40,000 people visiting college football over 7 nights, bringing $180 million into the Irish economy. I know that this year it's on August 24th. We've got Georgia Tech versus Florida in the Aviva. It's a sellout. How did this come about, and how important are these tourists?
It has been played out from years. The first game in Ireland was 1988. First one we were involved in 2012, working with Martin and Carmel Nocton, who've played a huge part in all this coming into Ireland. But in short, we got a team together to bring a 2016 game. It was lost from Ireland, etc. It's a public-private partnership. We got through that game, Boston College and Georgia Tech, and then we got into a room, and it's a real great example of public-private partnership between the departments, the Fáilte Ireland Tourism Ireland and Dublin City Council, and our principal private partner being Aer Lingus. And we worked out, how do we do it? How do we bring these games? How do we make this a sustainable business? Our first 2 years were meant to be the 2 years of COVID. We lost both games. And as you said, we started back last year. We started back in 22 and it was a good start. But last year, to break all records in relation to a single event, as you say, 180 million, 40,000 customers. But it's not just that at the end of August and the 24,000 that are coming in this year. The connections, these games, the tagline is much more than a game. So the connections we're making from a society perspective, with that Irish-American relationship, which is dying. We're not exporting people anymore.
Yeah.
So we got to reconnect, and no better way to connect through universities. And while Notre Dame and Boston College have a huge connection with Ireland, the likes of Georgia Tech and Florida State, they're coming in this year. They don't.
Yeah.
And so it's how we immerse that, how we bring that forward and really maximise it. I'm very fortunate to have a fabulous partner in the United States and On Location. They understand eventing and how to bring in games in a huge way. So we're making this an annual event. So we're on a 5-game series. We're actually renewing with our partners to move this on to 2036. So this will give Ireland its first major annual international event. That's a serious piece of kit. And the nice things about it, Bobby, this is not a Dublin event. This is an event that it's nationwide. People come in, they spend 7 nights at a minimum, 4 in Dublin or 4 down the country.
It's high value tourism is what it is.
And it's for everybody. Yeah. Every county in neck and breadth of Ireland gets a benefit from it.
Very finally, you're a farmer's son at heart. Tell me about the Wagyu Angus cross commercial herd that you're now developing down in Longford.
We're at early stage, so my good old brother down in Longford has been doing these big Charlies and Belgian Blues and everything for years. In the restaurants, we're Hereford Prime, we're dry agent Trohannan Meats in the north. All smaller cattle, all about taste these days, all about marbling, etc. So the World Steak, Richie, our culinary director, has been a key judge in the World Steak for years. We can do this in Ireland. We're going to do it on. So I'm at the early stage of developing that, and one of my business objectives, but personal objectives, is that it really is farm to restaurant in relation to from our.
So you're going to have Wagyu Angus beef served in fire and sole restaurants.
That's the intention.
And I'm looking forward to tasting it. Pádraig O'Kane from corporate.ie. Great to talk to you.
Thanks,
and
Bobby.
Thanks for letting us into your world.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.